on a chorus, singing if you will. Oh, sometimes, hallelujah. Sometimes, praise the Lord. Sometimes, gently sing our hearts in one. Sing it to Him. The Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Let's stand to our feet if you will. Glad you're here. Glad the Lord's going to be with us in this service today. I believe we're going to have a great time. You know what? It'll be just what you make it. Now, if you want to get in, let's just get in all over. Some people come to church. Some people come to have church. Now, what did you come for this morning? Did you just come to church? Or did you come to have church? How many of you come to have church? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Now, why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand and challenge them to do this. While we're here, let's have church. Play some more of it, guys.
Sing it. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give Jesus one more hand clap of praise. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request this morning. Sister Sherry Hayton sends us in to please pray for the family of Kay Counts. He passed away on Friday. That's the uncle of Sister Sherry Hayton. So we certainly want to pray for that request this morning. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He's not feeling well. Needs our prayers. So let's pray for him today. Brother Kevin Keith wants to thank everybody for their prayers. He is at home now. Somebody say praise the Lord. He will have 6 weeks of recovery time. Please keep him in your prayers for a swift recovery. So we just thank the Lord for Brother Kevin, that the Lord is just letting him be able to go home. That's healing right there, getting to go home. So we praise the Lord for that. Brother Baker says to please pray for Sister Christine Baker, who is in pain with her legs and knees. Also, we had requested prayer for Sister Christine's father, who had cancer. He is now cancer-free, and we want to thank the Lord and thank you for your prayer. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Gary sends this in to please remember Angie, Eli, and Keziah McCoy. They all have flu-like symptoms, so we want to remember that prayer request this morning. Pray for Nathan Davis, not feeling well today, unable to be in this service, so let's remember that. Brother Raymond Vega sends this in for Sister Lillian, joint pain in her bones, also unable to sleep, so we want to remember her as we pray today. Sister Tamika says to please pray for her mother, who has been experiencing a lot of pain in her knee due to arthritis, so let's pray for that need. Sister Cynthia Parker has bronchitis. Please pray for her. Please pray for Gwen Short Ball, having surgery for breast cancer this week. Sister Ruth Ann Carter sends that in. And Brad Gilbert's mother is in the hospital with blood clots and kidney failure. So we certainly want to pray for that need today. Also want to remember the Krause family. Hold them in our hearts. Pray that the Lord would comfort them during the loss of Brother Eric's father. So we just commit those folks unto the Lord. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? I want to ask you to stand with me again this morning. Brother Bill Blair, why don't you come this morning, if you would, lead us to the Lord in prayer. One announcement while Brother Bill is coming. Let's just invite the presence of our Lord into this service today. I'm going to tell you something, church. We need His presence among us more than we've ever needed it before. We need to depend on Him more than we've ever depended on Him. We are not self-sufficient. I can't run on my own ability. How about you? I can't do that, and you can't neither. This announcement, the brothers are working diligently, very diligently, to get our internet working back the way it was just before a few weeks ago. So bear with them, pray for them, and everything should be back to normal very, very soon. Not no timetable, but just pray that it all work well. You love the Lord this morning. Do you love each other this morning? Do you love Brother Bill Blair this morning? Amen. God bless you, buddy.
Do you love Louis Blevins this morning?
I know what he was when I asked him before.
You know, I'm sure we all have certain things about the nature and character of God that just overwhelm us. And one of mine is patience. And whenever I look around, I think of my family and my kids and the people around us and situations, I just come back to the patience of God. He has this way, this unbelievable way of working things out, and I'm just so grateful for it. Let's just bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we who are humbled before You as we look at our lives and what You do for us day by day have nothing but praise for You, Lord. There's this peace that Your word calls passing understanding, and it's true. We don't understand it, Lord. We just know that You love us beyond what human understanding can grant to us, Lord. We're in the presence. We're in the, I call it sort of the aurora or aura of a wonderful love of a mighty God who reaches out and does what we need even when we don't understand what that is. And these requests that I hold in my hand, Lord, each one of them important, many of them urgent, many of them just desperate, Lord. And yet, in all of that, there is this confidence in you that's so overwhelming to realize you love us more than we could love them. You love them more than we could ever do it, Lord. You have the plan in mind. You have everything under control. You're just so great, Lord, that it's wonderful to be part of your plan, even if we don't understand it. So I want to take a little time this morning, Lord, just to say thank you, to always be like the one leper that turned back and said, thank you, Lord, and maybe be a little more aware today when we walk out that God indeed has done something for us. And it's not years ago, and it's not decades ago. It's today. And I thank you for that, Lord, and I give you all the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come this morning, receive the tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad you're here. Those that are streaming, I pray this service will be a tremendous blessing to those folks as well. I understand we got some folks visiting from over in Indiana. Where are they at this morning? Would you just raise your hand? Give these folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. We're glad to have you folks with us. Praise the Lord. And if you come as many as three times, we fill out adoption papers on you. So you've done been here twice. You're getting close. You're flirting with being adopted right now. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be a Christian, isn't it? Isn't it good to love the Lord? Isn't it even better to know He loves you? Give Him one more hand clap of praise.
There's a light in the window. The table spread in splendor. Someone standing by.
Oh, yes.
An open door. I can't see a crystal river.
Sing it to Him, church.
Lord, I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this home.
let's sing just a little bit of this chorus this morning before we do our specials. Brother Bobby Hayden, if you want to come onto the platform, be getting ready. Sister Tamika, if you want to come onto the platform, sing after Brother Bobby this morning. But let's sing this song together this morning. I'm persuaded, Brother Terry, that I am a winner. Not because I am a winner, but because He has made me a winner. Because He has made me a conqueror. Because He has made you an overcomer. He has made you that. You're not going to be, you're now an overcomer. Look at somebody and say, I am an overcomer. Now don't lie when you say it, mean it with all your heart. Because you are an overcomer. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns.
Yes, He does. Our God reigns.
Yes, our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Singers this morning.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Storm through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the dark disappears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I'll stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. us, Lord. Take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Praise the Lord. That wasn't nothing but pretty, right? That was beautiful. That's a sermon. That song's a sermon. Appreciate our specials this morning. God bless you. Let's stand, if you will. It's time to go on into the service. How many of you are going to pray for your pastor? How many of you are going to pull on the gift of God that's in our brother's life? We're going to have some church then. You just might as well get ready. Let's sing a little chorus as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Bring us the word this morning. God is your oasis. In a dry, dusty land, God is your oasis. You believe it this morning. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Yes, God is your oasis. In dry places, he makes flowers grow. God is your
such a place that we have today. Let's turn, if you would, to the book of Jude again today. Book of Jude. We'd like to begin reading verse 3, and we'll read down through verses 6. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old, ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, and though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Let's bow our heads together and ask God to speak to us today from his word. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, and we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, to know that that love is not one-sided, but you loved us before we could ever even think about loving you. And we are so grateful today to know that that love has extended to us in such a bountiful way. Lord, we do not interpret love the way that many other religious people do in this day. We don't look at love that you love us so much that you let us get by with anything. We look at love as being, you love us so much, if we do the least little thing wrong, you convict us for it. To us, that's real love. That's rapturing love. Lord Jesus, may you take your word today and speak to us, Father. You see that we are needy people, but we know and acknowledge today that you are our God who supplies all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Heavenly Father, I just received a text a few moments ago from Brother Mike Price as he was getting out of his vehicle, Lord, just a little bit ago to go into church. He pulled a muscle in his leg in a lot of pain. I just pray, Father, that you'd move for him today. Lord, getting soon ready to go out to preach, and said he thought he might have to actually sit in a chair because the pain was just so bad. May the presence of God move for our brother this morning, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. A skip down, if you would, to verse 10 in Jude, and we'll continue from where we was looking at last night. Jude also was, Peter was speaking about the apostates that were alive and doing what they were supposed to do in that day. And yet also, I believe, prophetically speaking to times that would be, and also certainly in our day. Look in verse 10. He said, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." Now I want you to notice what an ignorant people that it would be that would speak evil of things that they don't even know. But they hear this, or they read that, or they hear something there, and they just jump on the bandwagon. And they go to speaking evil, and they don't have truths, they don't have facts, they don't even know all the things conclusive about what they're talking about, but they just jump on it because everybody else does. So they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beast, animals without intelligence. This is what the word means. Animals without intelligence. And those things, they corrupt themselves. Now here they are, by the way they're acting and by the way that they're doing, they're acting like animals. You're saying, Brother Donnie, you mean people could actually come to such a spot that they could act like animals? If you'd like to, we could ask Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got all lifted up in his pride and his arrogance, and he had a dream. You remember the dream? And God showed him in the dream what was going to happen to him. What happened? His fingernails growed out like bird claws. His hair growed out like feathers on his body. And he went through the woods and through the fields like a wild animal. Now here, their claws aren't going to grow out. Their hair isn't going to grow out. But where's it going to happen? Up here and right here. Now they will become like brute beasts. So they will live a devouring type of life. This is why they lose sense of humanity. They lose sense even of godliness and purity. Lord God, keep us safe, I pray. Now, notice as brute beast, in those things they will corrupt themselves. And here it's not even the devil doing it to them, but they're actually doing it to themselves. Now, verse 11, he says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Now look at these three examples. All three of these men were around the revealed word of the hour for their day. Cain was not a real believer, but yet he was right around where the message of that day was being practiced and lived and vindicated. And he refused to do it. Look at the second example, in the error of Balaam. Balaam, of course, was a prophet, but Balaam was also, the Bible calls him, a soothsayer. Now, how could you be a prophet and be a soothsayer at the same time? But that's what the Bible calls him, both titles. So Balaam was called around the revealed word of the hour to stand against the people of God that were following the message of that day. Right. And then, of course, the gainsaying of Korah, and Korah was called out of Egypt. Korah was identified with the message for a long time, and then he took a stand against it. Now, this is the types that they're going to be. Now, look at verse 12. "These are spots in your feast of charity." Now, these were actually in the New Testament called love feasts. Those of you that have studied this, you know that it was called agape feast. And it was to where that most of the people at this time when it was written, they would not have had their own church building. But it would have been the rich people that would have got saved. And they would have provided a hall or a place in their home or a place in their facility, a barn or somewhere. And they would actually have church there. And to be complimentary to the poor saints, they would also have a meal. So they would have a meal that would be after the service. And they called them love feasts because they'd come, they'd sing, they'd worship, they'd hear the word, they'd cast out devils, they'd have normal service. And then afterwards they would have a fellowship dinner, like we would say. So they would have these feasts and they would call them love feasts. Now these people at this time had not totally broke away from the fellowship of the body. They were were still among them. Now, notice the way Jude addresses this. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you. So they're actually coming to church. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. I believe with all my heart. Amen. I believe every word that prophet of God said. Hallelujah. And then they go out and, man, that's good roast beef. Man, that's good chicken. Boy, I like them chicken and dumplings, don't you? Boy, this is the truth, ain't it? Have you ever experienced anything like this in your life? I mean, this is wonderful. Glory to God. Spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water. Isn't this amazing? The symbolisms that men of God would use. Clouds without water. So you would look up, as we look up this morning, and we could see that the clouds are gathering, which meant they were getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And as it was getting darker and darker. Because the more they accumulate, the more they knock off the rays of the sun. So if we were dry and parched today and the clouds were there and they were building and building and building, we say, oh my, we need a rain. Maybe it'll rain. Now he likens these apostates to clouds that were so dark. And my, here they were promising rain. We'll help you. We'll deliver you women out of that message bondage. But they were clouds with no water. So they're just blowing by. And they blow over here, and they blow over there, but they have no refreshing rain. They have no life-giving source to make the seed grow. They have nothing in them to be able to impart life. So they just pass by with every new wind and every new YouTube video and ever. I'm glad my face ain't in YouTube. I'm glad my face and a bunch of these long-tongued gossipers that's saying all kinds of things about this message. And if you're filling your head with that, I'm ashamed of you as my sheep. Don't feed on that garbage. You want to take time to feed on something? Feed on the Word of God. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, of a good report. Don't feed on that trash, friends. Ah. So there are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds. So this, they're carried over here, and they're carried over there, and they're carried over here. Oh my. Notice, trees whose fruit withereth. Now the word withereth actually means trees of autumn. That is trees stripped of leaves. Trees on which there is no fruit. Without fruit. Oh my. Twice dead. Wholly dead. Now notice this, twice dead. So they are dead by nature and dead by the hardness of their hearts. So they are twice dead. Oh my. Plucked up by the roots. Which means they will never bear fruit again. Verse 13. Raging waves of the sea. Now they are turbulent and tumultuous type of waves. And those of you that have been near the ocean, not just on the beach, but I mean out there in it. And you've seen how it can go with the foam. What does it do? The foam begins to build on tops of those waves. And here Jude says that they are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. Notice what they're doing. So where does these apostates foam? Where do they foam? Their mouths. Their mouths foam. Corruption and filth. What is it? You ever see demon-possessed people foam? Many of these people have no froth on their lips. They have no foam up on their nose or their chin. Their foam is in the contents of what they say. They're foaming. They're foaming like a mad dog. Any of y'all ever seen a coon or a fox or a dog with rabies? Y'all know whenever me and Harry and my sister was young, we had contact with a rabid fox. I've got the scar in my hand here to bear witness of it today. We had to take those rabies shots to keep us from getting rabies. Had to take 14, one a day for 14 days. So they pull up the skin of your stomach and stick the needle inside of it like this. And then they go 7 up this side and 7 up that side. In order to keep you from going mad. In order to keep you from frothing at the mouth and getting rabies. I'm so glad God has inoculated His bride. With a good Holy Ghost shot, it don't take 7. All it takes is 1 good seal of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Because if not, friends, we would go mad too. We would be like Laodicea. We would go totally insane and feel like we were Christians. Jude says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, departing from the faith that was once delivered to them, they lose the divine course by which they were allotted truth and salvation. So then they become a wandering star in the luminous heavenly bodies. But they no longer have a pass. They no longer have an illumination by God. They just wander here and there and there. Merciful God. Now look at their end. Foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Can't you see that mortals can enter into the same state that fallen angels do, where they're actually held in these chains under darkness? Look at the word blackness. Darkness, blackness, used of the darkness of the nether world. Now here we're talking about mortals that can actually go so far and cross the line into apostasy to where there is no point of return. Darkness is of night. Darkness darkens eyesight or blindness. Blindness rather. Metaphorically of ignorance, respecting divine things and human duties. And the accompanying ungodliness and immorality. You know what I find amazing when you go to dealing with stuff like this is the real elect scares them to death. And the apostates don't even bother them. People who can't become apostate, they've got their toenails chewed off with their fingernails. Their blood pressure is running 383 over 975 on the bottom number. They're sitting there in church. They're a nervous wreck. They're totally wrecked during the whole service. And they couldn't cross that line a bit more than Jesus Christ could. And apostates that'll hear this will laugh at it, make fun of it, ridicule. You know why? You know why you feel that way? Because that something in you proves you cannot nor will you ever reach such a spot. Because there is something in you that is so in tune with the Word of God, that's why you feel afraid. That's why stuff like this is, oh God, keep me, oh God. You ought to thank God you feel that way. Now let's look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. There is sins by which believers can fall into. And they will do wrong or say wrong or approach something in a total different spirit than what God wants them to do. And it is a sin by which they can repent from and be called back into fellowship in the presence of God. But there is a sin that is called a sin unto death. And it is a sin by which once a person enters into that sin, then there is no retrieval. There is no repentance. What's this? John says, if any man see his brother
sin a sin, which is not unto death. Now watch the separation. So a man sees his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death. He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So then if we see a brother or sister that does something wrong, and we pray and we ask God and we intercede for them, and maybe they can't do it themselves, maybe they're bound up and whatever it is, but we actually, as part of the mystical body, have the ability to ask life for that individual, and God can bring them back and restore them. As long as that sin is not the sin unto death. But now watch John as he goes to the next step. There is a sin unto death. And I do not say that he shall pray for it. So you mean people can actually sin so far that they send their soul into death while they're yet alive? What is this sin? Let's look in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now let's break this down. For it is impossible. Now I want you to listen how serious apostasy is. Now, let me say this before I go any farther. Apostasy and people backsliding is not quite the same thing. A person can know truth, get out of fellowship with God, and backslide. But really, down in their heart, still know that the message is right. They can come back to God. You know why? Because they still believe it from their heart. They may not be where they ought to be. They may not be going to church. They may not be in fellowship. They may be doing all kinds of things. But really, if you'd cut open the heart of their hearts and you look down inside that heart, they say, I know that's the truth. I may not be living it. I may not be doing right, but I know that word is the truth. Thank God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. But an apostate is totally different than just a backslider. Every backslider is not an apostate. But every apostate is a backslider plus. Now watch. Paul now says, for it is impossible. Could not do. Not possible. Unable to be done. Do you understand? Even God cannot retrieve an apostate. We say, well, he can do anything and he can do everything. Be careful what you're saying. Even God cannot retrieve an apostate. It is impossible. Children, don't you understand where we are? Something has happened. In the last 6 months, we have moved into a sphere of darkness that we have never known before. We have moved into a realm of darkness. Look politically what's going on. Look out on the world. Look out on the ranks of the message. We have moved into a sphere of darkness. We have moved into a channel by which the power of darkness has been able to excel into a realm, and demonic pressure has been able to be released on the bride of Christ. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We have entered into a stage that we have never been before. We've been through lots of things before in the message. I ain't talking about us as a church. I'm talking about the move of God. But we have never been where we are now. For it is impossible. For those who were once enlightened. Look at this word. Give light. Bring to light. render evident, to cause something to exist and thus come to light and become clear to all. Don't you understand that some folks, whenever they pull away from this message, you know, friends, it's not quite as simple as people say, well, you know what, I think I'm going to leave Happy Valley Church and I'm going to go to a Baptist church. I'm going to go to a local charismatic church. It's not quite that easy. You see, it's not leaving this church and going to a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church. You are showing a symbolism of what you're doing in your heart. You're walking away from present day light and going backwards. It's not just choosing to leave this church and go to a charismatic church or going to a Baptist church or somebody that has so much more love, supposedly. You are walking away from a present day truth. And you are walking backwards. Now, can you imagine if it was total dark on the outside, completely dark, it was nighttime, and we would walk out into the darkness after being in this illuminated building, and we would walk out, there was no lights out there, the moon was hid, it was a cloudy night, the stars could not be seen, and you are walking out of this illuminated building, and the pupils of your eyes have become adjusted because of the amount of illumination by which this light is given, and then you walk out there in the darkness, and you're trying to look around and find where you are. It's much easier to come from the darkness into the light than it is to go from the light back to the darkness.
Amen.
That's why it's better for them had they never even heard the name William Branham. They've been better off to sit in a Baptist church all their life, Brother Bobby. Sit right there and been a Catholic, been an ignorant, blind, spiritual Catholic, just go to Mass, than it would to left the Catholic Church and embrace this truth and turn back to one of her daughters. Well, I know this don't make a shout, but it's where we are. We got to hear it. Now what? So it is impossible for those who were once in light. Now they actually saw things. They were actually illuminated to a portion of truth. And they said, my goodness, I've never heard anything like this in my life. Lord, how wonderful, how wonderful.
Amen.
Now watch how much further it goes though. They were once enlightened and have tasted. Which is to try the flavor of. To partake, enjoy, make trial of experience, to take food, eat, to take nourishment. So they're enlightened and they've tasted of the heavenly gift. Notice it doesn't say gifts as in plural, but gift as in singular, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they've said what the word is. They've heard it preached and they actually saw this and they saw that and they saw that. They don't stop there though. They go on in and many of them, their spirit is baptized into the Holy Ghost. But see, just like it is whenever we baptize somebody up here in water. They will put their hands over their nose and I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that for? Decoration. It's to keep the water from going in their nose and the water from going in their mouth. And their body was baptized, but not one drop of that water got on their spirit or their soul. So a person's spirit can be immersed into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they can say, glory to God, I've had the Holy Ghost every hour of my life. And that never one drop went down into their soul. And boy, they tasted that good Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. This is so wonderful. Oh, oh.
Amen.
Lord God. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Look at this word. Partners. Sharing in. A partner in a work, office, or a dignity. So they actually partook of the Holy Ghost. Now watch, he goes on further and says, and have tasted the good word of God. Now look at this word here for word. Not logos, but rhema. That which has been or uttered by the living voice. They wasn't just sitting there intellectually hearing the Logos, but they were sitting under anointed, gifted men of God who were taking the Logos, and through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that Logos was becoming rhema. They went to convention after convention. My senator, this pastor, that man of God, and they actually saw that word become living. And they sat there and ate it. Drunk of the Holy Ghost. Oh man, praise God. Oh, thank God for the message. Thank God for the message. But then all of a sudden, something happens. And they go to reach over. I don't like the taste of that anymore. Brother Donnie's changed. The church has changed. There's something wrong with everybody there. It couldn't be me, of course. This stuff don't taste right no more. Well, I'm getting it from the same source I've always got it from. And I just checked the contents yesterday, and it says exactly the same contents as the day when I first came here 20-some years ago. It's from the same flour bin, from the same meal bin, from the same dispensation of the same Holy Ghost. Could it be your taste has changed? My. The people mentioned in this verse, friends, enjoyed such high spiritual privileges in God. Can you imagine? They sat at the table of the King himself. They tasted. They enjoyed. They actually said, this is the truth. Wow, I can't wait to get back to church to hear more of this. They changed their whole lives to match the message. Raised their children to match the message. Got rid of their televisions because the message preachers told them to do it. The women cleaned out their closets. The men cleaned out theirs. Cleaned out their CDs, their DVDs, and all the rest of the DVDs. But something happened to them. And then they in turn started going back and saying, I want to put my britches back on. You know why? Because they got the britches out of the closet, but they didn't get the britches out of their heart. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Now watch in verse 6. If they shall fall. If they shall fall away. Look at the word fall. To slip aside, hence to deviate from the right path. Turn aside, wander, to error. To fall away from the true faith that was once delivered to the saints, of course. Worship of Jehovah or apostatize from the faith. But Brother Donnie, I backslid one time. Does that mean I can't come back? That's not an apostate. Those of you that have known the Lord and you backslid and you got away from God, you might have been out of church 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Are you going to sit here and tell me today it didn't eat on you nearly every day of your life? It didn't eat on you nearly every month of your life and ever. And you'd pass by this church, and though somebody might have offended you or whatever, yet down inside of you, you thought, I really need to be going back there. I really need to be back there. Why? Because there was something in you that would not let go of this truth. Brother Don, does that mean I'm an apostate? It means you're not. Because if you was, you wouldn't care. Now watch what happens when this category of people move into this status. It's very peculiar now. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Now repentance doesn't come from me and you. Repentance don't come from the preacher. Repentance, allocation of repentance can only come from God. You could scream and cry and holler all you want to, but if God does not give you repentance, you cannot repent. So they enter into a stage to where it is an impossibility to repent. Like the fallen angels, they come to a spot to where they cannot cross over. And even though they have a soul, it can no longer be redeemed. Why? They have refused the medicine for the cure. They were shipwrecked on the island of humanity, caught in sin. And God sent a lifeboat by, and they said, get out of here. So the lifeboat went on past them. And now they're marooned on this island of sin with no way back. Now watch then where they move into. If they fall away, being impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Then Paul says, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God. Now, you never mentioned nothing about the Son of God in them prior verses. He was talking about eating the Word. Being a partaker of the Holy Ghost. Right? Tasting of the heavenly gift. Son of God is not even mentioned. But yet when they turned down Rima, when they refused to drink from the blessed communion of the cup of the Holy Ghost, they actually revert back 2,000 years ago. And there they are standing in the crowd, the mob, at Pilate's hall. They think they're turning down Brother Branham. They think they're turning down this church or me or a bunch of books and a bunch of tapes. When they sat under my ministry and other gifted men's ministry and they heard that Logos transformed into Rhema, and they partook of the Holy Ghost, that was one of the highest privileges any mortal could ever have. To sit at the table, oh, I'm a millionaire. What difference does that make if you're not invited to sit at the table of the King? But then all of a sudden, that all changes. And this high privilege, this high honor, now they look at it with disdain. And what am I doing here? Look at all these women with these long dresses and long hair. What am I doing here? That man up there in the pulpit screaming and hollering, you got to do this and you can't do that. This is not who I am. Oh, Lord. You know the sad truth? They are speaking the truth. It's really not who they are. But my brother, sister, if this is who you are, there ain't enough money in this world to buy it. There ain't enough people to run you away. There ain't enough shame. There ain't enough disreproach. There ain't enough, no matter what the devil does, he can't pull it away from you because you are the Word. You are the Word. So So now all of a sudden, they think they're turning down William Branham, Donnie Reagan, you know, whoever more. They're pulling back from their cup. They're leaving their plate of Rhema food. Their cup of the Holy Ghost. So they start going over to this other church. Because they have so much love. They never preach nothing that makes nobody mad. They never hurt nobody's feelings. The preacher don't scream. He don't spit and all that unclean stuff. He's nice. Never see his picture in the paper unless it's about some great public thing that he did. Loved in the community, accepted in the community. My. And then they go to looking around and said, this is who I am. Lord God, have mercy. If I could go tonight and sit down somewhere in some Baptist church or some charismatic church or some Pentecostal church, Brother Jim, and say, this is who I am. Somebody cast that devil off of me. Amen. Somebody cast that devil off of me. Amen. So all of a sudden they push back from this high honor sitting at the table of the king. They get up from the table. And somehow, I don't know how, but they take a journey in time. 1900s, 1800s, 1700s, 1600s. And they go back to the first century. And there's a man standing up there. Strips of meat have been torn from his back. Wait a minute, I think if we look close, we can see his rib cage. He's bled so much blood out of his body that his blood pressure has dropped down so low. He's jerking and quivering uncontrollably. He can't stand still. He's almost in convulsive state. His nerves in his body, he's jerking. And now this person who just walked away from the message, they find themselves walking up in the mob. And they find themselves laughing. And they're saying about this Jesus, standing there, quivering and shaking. And they find these words coming out of their mouths. Crucify him! You mean by leaving the message? By leaving a church that God ordained in the light of the day and regressing 50 years. Now they find themselves under the influence of the mob. Friends, don't you understand what the media and social media and Facebook and all that stuff is? It's the influence of the mob. That's why some of you good people get caught up in that trash. And you go to saying stupid stuff and you look back and say, what in the world did I say that for? Because you didn't listen to your pastor, that's why. Brother in the church sent me an article last night after the service on Facebook. The article was 3 or 4 years old. And they said one of the main causes now of divorce is Facebook. People striking up old romances. Come on. And if I said things behind this pulpit that some of you say on Facebook about yourself, you'd get so mad at me, you'd never come back. You'd hang your laundry out for everybody to read it. Come on, children, wake up. Don't you realize it's the world pulling? It's another aspect of hell. Do you know that some churches have got Facebook police? There's one of the brothers who attends our church that's telling me he's friends with a guy, a local church here, Apostolic Church. And this guy's position in the church is Facebook police. So he watches everybody's Facebook stuff and what they put on Facebook in the church. And Ain't there nobody got any integrity left? Ain't there nobody's got any sense? Are we all idiots? Have we all went insane? Something happened in the last 6 or 7 months that even folks at Happy Valley have lost your mind? Maybe this will go viral. You imagine they find themselves, they look down. What am I doing here? And they find themselves moving under the mob anointing. Remember, it was the same mob anointing just 3 days prior to this when he come riding through Jerusalem on a white donkey. Some of the same people sit up there and said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That wasn't a revelation. It was the mob. But now the mob has changed its mind. Do you understand, friends, what apostates are doing who are pulling away from this truth? They are looking at the Lord Jesus. They think they're attacking Brother Branham. They think they're attacking me, attacking Happy Valley. Come on. Don't think so small. This is not an attack on Donnie Reagan. I'm not big enough to cause the devil that much problems. That he'd want to send it nationally and internationally. Come on. We're not that important to God. It's the message. Satan sees a big thing here. Not just a little old two before a preacher or a little old church that's got 400, 500, 600 people there. That ain't what he's after. It's after the illumination of this day. It's the light of this day. But let me tell him, he will never stop it. He will never stop this truth because it is not man-made. It is God-sent. Oh my! Can you imagine that people, when they push back from the table and they leave a ministry and they leave the truth, they're standing back in Pilate's hall and they're pointing their finger in the face of Jesus and saying, "You are an imposter." When they are calling Brother Branham a false prophet, when they will make their videos and say that Brother Branham was a grand dragon of the KKK. Friends, many of these folks have gone nuts. You can't believe they've gone nuts. Don't you understand what they're doing? They think they're pointing the finger to a little hillbilly. They think they're pointing the finger and they're trying to find his faults. He's got plenty of them just like all the rest of us. But it's not him. It's Jesus back in Pilate's hall. Because Jesus is this word. Jesus is his body, the bride. They are willfully choosing the same stand that nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross. And Paul goes on to say, to renew them again to repentance, saying that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Again. Do you understand all this stuff on YouTube and all this stuff on these websites? It's his crucifixion. Remember, the first one was in body form. The second one was in 1963, an indictment given to the second crucifixion. God's not completed in twos. Then the prophet goes on to say later, the third crucifixion, which will be the crucifixion of the bride. Don't you see why we must be attacked? Don't you understand why the body must be attacked. The last crucifixion. But they think they're pointing their finger at us. Did those men know that was God in Pilate's hall? Did they know that was God? Do these poor ignorant people know this is God they are attacking? I told that reporter that I talked to on the phone from the Johnson City Press. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you'd have been standing in Jerusalem that day on the street corner and you were a reporter and you heard the Lord Jesus say these words, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. I said, how would you have reported that? So I said, I'm warning you. You better tell the truth and you better not misrepresent what I say. You say, ain't you afraid? I am not. Ain't you afraid to say that publicly? I am not. But why do people do such? Because they see me in Pilate's hall. They see you. They see you. They see you. Some woman with the long hair. Some of these young girls. They don't see Jesus there. They see you, Jim Babb. Lord God, if there's any mercy that can be granted, God, please grant it. They put him to an open shame. They're making a public example out of the Lord Jesus again. Now, can you imagine when they would beat those criminals? They would strip them of their clothes and they're there. Stark naked, as we say. You've got all these hundreds of people standing around and you're naked. You ain't got nothing to cover yourself. Your hands are chained in front of you to the post and you're standing there ashamed because you're naked. You're beaten, you're humiliated, you're whipped, you're striped. Do you understand what these people are doing? They have tied not Brother Branham. I've not tied you. Once again, the Lord Jesus is tied to the whipping post. And from their websites and their YouTube videos, they're taking their whips in their hands and they're hitting the Lord Jesus. And while he's crying, they are laughing. Do it again. Hit him again, that imposter. So they ran back and they hit him again. And his body goes into contortions. It's twisted. They let him calm down. And then they hit him again. And again. Merciful God. Once again, they are judging Jesus Christ, the Word. Where is he? Of death. So they gather together in their councils, on their Facebook and their messages, and they plot their next plan. Because they are judging Jesus, the Word, worthy of shame, humiliation. Everybody in this church today and everybody streaming this service that will archive it. Every one of you have your place in Pilate's hall. All of us. All of us are identified somewhere in Pilate's hall today. You're the Roman standing there with that whip in your hands. Or you're Pilate sitting up on the throne, some kind of something or other that you think you are, passing judgment. Or you're Jesus in bride form. And you're the one that they've died to the post. Or they think it's you. And while you cry and lament, Father, forgive them. They don't recognize the groom is hid in the bride. The crucifixion preceded the resurrection. What will precede our rapture and resurrection? The third crucifixion. I don't know about you, I count it an honor. I count it an honor to be identified with this message. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord God! Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. Think of it, friends. We want to be identified among each other, don't we? Oh, I love it when you call me Brother Donnie. I love it when I get emails from preachers all over the world, as I have in the last few weeks, calling me Brother Donnie. And we stand with you and we're praying for you. Oh, it makes me feel good. But let me tell you one thing that even makes me feel better. Is because down in the pits of the abyss, in the regions where Satan originates his plans, he looked at me and he looked at this church. And he identified us as such a threat. He identified us as being such a part of this message. That Satan and his demons. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So yes, sir, I'm glad I'm identified with Elijah. I'm glad to be identified with this great message of the hour. But you know what that means, don't you? That means we must bear shame. Let me give you just a little insight. First 2 weeks after my picture came out in the paper, I was so paranoid. I didn't go out of the house for several days. When I did go out of the house, it felt like everybody was looking at me. I went through the drive-thru at Bojangles to get me something to eat, something to drink or other. Whenever I pulled up into the drive-thru, the woman pulled back the window and said, I know you. You used to come through Sonic. But when she said the words, I know you, my face started getting red from here up. You know what I realized as I pulled away from that window? I was bearing the reproach for this word. I said about it yesterday, I thought, you know what? If I had more strength, I'd just shout right now. Because I was hated, I was cast down, I was run down through all that stuff. Not because I'm a sinner. Not because I live an ungodly life. Not because there's sin hid in my life. But because I preach what God's prophet said for this hour. What an honor! What an honor to be identified and shame brought on you because of this word. The penalty for their departure hopeless case. No repentance. No way back. Great spiritual privileges beget great judgment. God will look more harsh on people who have sat under this message and have left it and have blasphemed than He will the drunk on the street who never even heard this truth. Some of these Baptist women around here, Methodists and all this sort of thing, who'd never even heard nothing about no message, God will have more pity on them than He will women who sit in this church. Let's close. Notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. This is what's amazing, really. What brings the people into this such severe, harsh judgment? They have lost what they had because they despised what they had. They despised what they had. God didn't take it from them. Even the devil couldn't. But something in them changed, and they loathed this light bread. These were sayings that was common in the first century, on up to the second and even into part of the third, when people would leave the truth among the believers. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Anathema, Maranatha. Now Paul uses two separate words from two separate languages, the Greek and the Syriac language. The word anathema is Greek, which means accursed. The Syriac word, Maranatha, is a compound of Maran, which is Lord, and Atha, He cometh. These words were used anciently in the most dreadful sentence of excommunication, as they had cited the person to the tribunal of Christ, and at His coming to judge the world, or left them bound under the curse of that sentence until the coming of Christ.
Think about it.
So in the early church, when people crossed this point, this sin unto death, they would say these words about them or to them. Anathema, Maranatha. Or you are accursed till our Lord comes and judges you. Now this was, of course, before the church got afraid, when they still recognized who they were on the earth. God's representatives. I hope I never have to say these words. But I'm afraid, as we get closer, and Ananias and Sapphira will return, I will be forced, under the inspiration of the Almighty. May God help us. Now please don't misunderstand me. What I preached last night and what I preach today, this is not me. This is not who I am.
Amen.
When I preach on people smoking cigarettes, glory to God, that don't smite my heart with conviction, none. I don't smoke. I preach on adultery, that don't smite my heart, because I don't commit adultery. When I preach on this, it don't smite my heart with conviction, because this ain't who I am. I take heed, I listen, you understand? I take heed, I listen, and I put no confidence in this, Brother Bobby. But when I preach about anathema, that is not who I am. Who I am is what He said in the book of Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think about you, and they are for good and not trouble.
Amen.
Stand. It's entirely up to you today now. You can walk out of here after the service last night and today with your chin dragging down about the bottom of your shoes. So low, oh God, I'm a not, you can't even say it, I'm a not, I ain't no good. He was speaking to me. Did you notice him when he said that? Bad part, he looked right at me. I've got to look at somebody. Or you can hear it today and say, God, that's the truth. I believe it, Lord, but that ain't me. I am not accursed. Amen. I am not anathema. I am not cursed out of the presence of God. That's not who I am. I'm a son. I always was a son. Always was a part of that word. That's God when preachers preach about Judas. It don't strike my heart with conviction because that ain't me. Come on. I'm not an apostate. I'm apostolic. I'm still eating. Still drinking. Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. Except I'm not just a partaker of the Holy Spirit, Hagios Spirit, but I have become Hagios Saint. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Saint. Brother Don, you ever think what it's going to be like to be down in hell? No, I don't. Because that ain't where I'm going. My Jesus went to hell for me, and I'll never see it, Brother Daniel. Never. Never. You mean you're not leaving down today? Are you kidding me? Why should I be down?
Brother Donnie, people hate you more than ever.
That's what Jesus said they would do. Brother Bill Yance called me several Saturdays ago and said, hey, I'm going to talk to the most blessed man I know. I said, oh, okay. Me? Yeah, he said, you're the most blessed man I know. Man, your name been cast out as evil. I said, really? I didn't know nothing about it yet. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, they're blasting you this. I said, really? Wow. After a few days, I didn't feel like the most blessed man. Praise God. But my daddy has one thing in mind for me. For we know all things will work together for the good. Brother Tim Pruitt was out in Arizona, him and some other brothers. And he texted me after the meeting out there. He said, Brother Donnie, I want to share it with you. He said, the meetings we had out there, he said, one service is 5 hours long. He said, special singing going on, an hour and a half. He said, what you and Happy Valley has went through in the last few weeks has brought such a stirring among God's people. Dumb devil. So, Brother Donnie, does that mean you want more? No, next time I'm preferring one of my other brothers. Maybe Brother Tim and them will get the blessing the next time. Brother Jason Watkins, he deserves a good blessing. Maybe he'll get it. No, in all reality, I want what he wants for me. But you. It'll help you, friends, the way it helps me. You see, if I look at it this way, they're after me. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. That warps our thinking. Then we get to thinking about us and we preach about us and talk about us. But when we can get in our mind, it ain't you. You think you're that worthy. You think you're worth that much. It's Jesus. It's this word. Amen. If the Lord tarries in a few years, I'll probably go by the way of the grave and I'll die. I'll be gone. Before long, y'all forget me. Y'all have another pastor, you'll go on with God. But this word, is what Satan hates. Why didn't he attack in the Vatican? He ruins it. Come on. Why didn't he attack in Islam? He's king of it. Why didn't he attack in the Baptists and all the rest of them? He owns them. Why is he attacking this word? Because he don't own it. And he can't make us bow. Glory! Glory! Are we going to send for Jesus? I've heard, I don't know how many different reports from different preachers in this area that have told people of our church or people of other churches how they admired me and our church for being able to stand under pressure. And a Baptist preacher told a friend of mine, he said, that man told the truth. And he said, I admire him. He started crying. And he said, it's the truth. And I'd preach it at my church, but they won't let me. Can you imagine? That man will stand before God with those words. And another preacher told someone else, his acquaintance of our church, said, I have such admiration for that man. I hope if it ever come down to it, I could stand. I hope when it's all said and done, my testimony continues the same, that I'll still stand. What good does this do to stand 3 weeks ago or a month ago and then compromise next week? What good is it to you? It's not what you were 10 years ago. What are you today? Are you ashamed, sisters? Are you ashamed of your hair and your dresses and your skirts? You find yourself in Pilate's Hall on which side? Standing there and pointing a finger at you. And say, oh, you go to, oh, don't, you mean you go to that church? Brother Kevin Keith was in the hospital the other day, and Brother Joel Brown went to see him, and the man came in there and said, where do you guys know each other? He said, we go to that prejudice church. Black brother and a white brother. Children, let your light shine. Let the life of the saints of Happy Valley testify what we are. We don't have to prove ourselves to the world out here. We don't have to prove that we're right. God, when a man, the prophet of God said, when a man stands for the truth, God is obligated to come and stand behind that man and prove what he said is the truth. Hallelujah. Be Christians. Live like Christians.
Why didn't we recognize? Let's sing it together as we prepare to go. In our minds now, let us go back. We're once again standing in the setting. Where are you? Do you look down and find the whip in your hand? Or are you sitting upon the judgment throne? Bless God. Or are you the one out there being beat and whipped? Before yesterday, Lord Jesus, beat him unmercifully and nailed him to a tree. Sky grew dark and the earth began to fall. Cried, surely we crucified the Son of God. Sing it now. Why didn't we recognize Son of God was here today? Didn't our heart
you former message people have known? Should you song leaders and deacons and former preachers, should you have known? Oh, I wish you would have known him before the rapture had come and gone.
Today, friends, and I walk down the road. Oh, we didn't know our Lord had a rose.
Glory!
Oh, but then a man drew near and spoke, Rhema, so wide.
Glory to God! Have you heard him today, church? Have you heard him, the same Lord Jesus? He broke the bread and blessed it.
Let him stand, oh, under our eyes. Recognize the Son of God.
Oh, glory to God! Glory to God!
My God. Oh, my God. Should we have known? Wish we'd have known before the Lord had come and gone. Oh, I'm so glad
I recognize the
Jesus, oh Heavenly Father, thank you for your great truths, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, when this third crucifixion is over, when she has been led as a lamb to her slaughter, and she opened not her mouth, and she is smitten and afflicted from the church, when she has become Omega, will be gone. Lord, help us. Though we be lied upon and reproached, though we be shamed, though humanly we may be somewhat embarrassed. The scripture tells us when you went to the house of the little maid that day that was dead,
that whenever you told them that she was not dead, but she was just asleep, the scripture says that they laughed you to scorn, and Brother Bram said that it embarrassed you. Your face turned red. You got embarrassed because of the way they laughed at you. They scorned you with such ridicule that your human part, your face would have flushed, as it were, and you felt embarrassed. Lord, people may criticize us, not just us here, but your bride around the world. It may embarrass us sometimes. But may we still be found on the right side of the whip. I just wish people who so scorn this message, I wish they'd point to me one man of God. One man of God who preaches this truth. Who takes joy out of running people down. Who has any website or any articles that personally thrashes, rails, accuses. Point to me one servant of God who's ever took an airplane and crashed it into a twin tower. One servant of God who's ever took a gun and killed anybody. And yet we're the most hated people on the earth. Help us, Lord Jesus. How could it be that we could be so universally hated? It's because them universal demons recognize the truth. Lord Jesus, help me that I'll be on the right side of the whip when it's all said and done. My back may be laid open. As message preachers, as message people, who knows what we'll have to go through before we leave this world. But please don't never let me be the one having the whip, turning it on others. Don't let me be the one with bitterness and hatred in my heart. Keep me in love with you, Jesus. To be honest with you, sir, I don't know how to pray for some of these people. Because from some of the things I've heard that some have said, some of the remarks that they have made, that they said it was worth going to hell over what they had put me through. I don't know how to pray. If there's mercy, please give mercy. Please, Lord Jesus. If some have just backslid and they're not really apostates, be merciful. May they pull back up under the table of Jehovah. We don't want nothing in our heart against any of these people, Lord. Against anyone. Anyone, Lord. We want to be like you. We want to love and forgive. Please, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Go with us now, Lord, as we depart this place. I know this has been more of a solemn, serious weekend. But I felt to bring it, so therefore no apologies. But I pray that you'd help us to think over it, Lord, and just be so grateful in our hearts and know the grace of God has been given to us that we will not be apostasy. We will not. We're not apostates, we're apostolic. We're not pushed away from the table. Sometimes we eat so much we feel like we can't get up from it, but because your goodness and your mercy, and our cup just runs over, Lord. We thank you, Father. Go with us now, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
How many is glad you're still sitting at the table of the King? Praise God. Friends, don't go around and trying to pick out who's apostates. Just leave that to God. Some of you got friends, you got family members that's caught up in this stuff. And you know what? Pray for them. Just pray for them. But Brother Donnie, I don't know if they've sinned unto death. Well, I'll tell you what. You go before Father, and if Father lays it on your heart not to pray for their repentance, then advise you I'd back off. But until he does, I keep praying for mercy. Amen. please God, help us. And one day you're going to find out if you don't know it already. One reason the scripture tells us over and over again to pray for our enemies. It's not just because it'll benefit them. A lot of that's for you.
Man.
It's to keep your attitude right. That's why Jesus nor Peter nor Paul ever tells us how to pray for them. It just tells us to pray for them. Because when you're praying, it's that the prophet said in 1958, brothers, if I found favor in your sight, let me tell you this. He said, when a brother has done you wrong and you don't know why he's done you wrong, but take that brother to the throne of God. And he said, go there and don't pray out of obligation. Well, I know I'm supposed to pray for him, but pray with all of your heart. And he said, you cannot stand before any mortal, sinner or saint, before the throne of God. He said, are you going to feel sorry for that person? And he said, though they've done you wrong, and you say in your heart, Lord, I believe they deserve judgment. He said, you'll come down from there feeling different in your heart toward that brother. So prayer just ain't you praying for them. You praying for them helps you.
Amen.
And the church said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm not apostate. Bless you, saints. See you Wednesday night, Lord willing. Amen.